The Holy Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. So do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is here. Surely he must be God, Nicodemus thought. But how can it be? We've seen the miracles that he's done. He's turned the water into wine at the wedding. Can it really be God? I just don't know. I have to go and find out. And so Nicodemus comes. He has this late night date with Jesus. Must have been frustrating for Nicodemus to talk with the Lord, like an engineer talking to a professional dancer. A left-brained person talking to a right-brained person, talking across each other like planes passing in the night. Jesus says, "Nick, no one can see God's kingdom unless you're born from above, born by that watery spirit." And Nick's literal answer, next to Jesus' ambiguous one, conveys his confusion. "Really? How can I crawl a second time into my mother's womb?" And why would Nicodemus want to be born again? He's a Pharisee of high standing. Why would he want to give all of that up? But he was curious, or maybe confused, or maybe convicted, or maybe all three at once. His fellow Pharisees were rejecting Jesus, yet something made Nicodemus question. It was that feeling in his spirit that was in conflict with his head. Surely he couldn't separate himself from his Pharisaic tradition and beliefs. Pharisees were the keepers of Moses' law and its interpretation. They were in good standing with the common people. They believed in the resurrection. They weren't quite the elite status that the Sadducees were. And we hear of Nicodemus appearing three times in John's gospel. Each time he appears with Jesus, his faith is developing. He's on a journey. This first photograph that we have of Nicodemus and Jesus is the beginning of his spiritual journey. And the third time we see Nicodemus, he is preparing his Lord's body for burial, like a devoted disciple would do. So Jesus says, "Why are you astonished that I would say to you, 'You must be born from above, you must be born anew'? Are you a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand?" It must have felt like a huge cement ball on a chain crashing into the walls of Nicodemus' belief and his thought, knocking down his notions. He's just incredulous. How can this be? But isn't that the way of faith for us when God comes blustering by? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, when the wind of the Spirit starts moving us to believe something new, it can sometimes feel like this. I remember my first class, first semester seminary, Old Testament class. The professor walks in, he looks like Moses himself. Gray hair, big glasses, big long gray beard. And in the first 3 weeks, we go through all of the Bible stories that we know and love, the ones that are on our hard drive that we learned in Sunday school, right? Creation, Noah and the flood, the parting of the Red Sea and the Israelites walking through on dry land. At the end of 3 weeks, we students, we didn't love those stories anymore because we had begun studying them. We were up late nights reading about the Eloist and the Yahwist and the Priestly and the Deuteronomic writers of these texts. And I remember one Friday at the end of lecture, right before class, that Old Testament professor who looked like Moses looked at us sitting tired and taking notes, and he said, "You know, it is my job to kill your Sunday school faith and then rebuild it. You'll be fine." Surely the presence of the Lord in that place. But as a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have understood spirit, not in the Trinitarian understanding that you and I had, but as a Jewish man, he would have understood spirit, God's spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, as a conversation partner in his ongoing studies of scriptures. He would have understood spirit as an intimate voice that he knew already to give him new insights and understanding. But he still is just incredulous at Jesus' remarks. So why his surprise? Why his reaction? I think it's something about we humans on a faith journey. It's part of what happens when God's Spirit begins to blow and pull and push on us like labor contractions, moving us to the next place of understanding. Spiritual directors are people who accompany others on their faith journey. So Dani Schofield is a spiritual director. She lives in San Francisco, and she writes about the beginning of her own faith journey. She tells the story that when she was a wee little one, she and her parents used to go to a Presbyterian church. They got divorced. She quit going. About the age of 9, she had a charismatic nanny. Charismatic, hands in the air, prayers, speaking in tongues, who introduced her to the likes of Benny Hinn, who is a TV evangelist, who does healings. Believes that he's a conduit of God's healings. You can watch him on the internet. I did just yesterday. So at the age of 9, she finds her mother's old Bible in the garage, and she begins hiding under her pink bedspread with a flashlight. She writes, "I read partially out of the fear of hell and partially just to annoy my mother, who would come in and tell me to turn the flashlight off and go to bed." At 15, she went to a huge megachurch by herself. At 15, she said, "I could slip in and out and nobody noticed me," until she got connected to the great youth group, and she really did begin to discover a Christian identity. She says, "I spent a lot of time in the two small aisles at Barnes & Noble, pulling off religious books, trying to figure out who I was. Surely the Spirit of the Lord is present in this place. So you see, God takes us where we are with what we know and then begins to blow us into a new place of understanding. And sometimes that whisper of God is like a tiny stream of air through a straw. Sometimes it's like those old hand bellows that we used to pump up the flames of a fireplace. And sometimes, well, it's a hurricane, depending on what we might need when faith and life intersect. So how are we born anew of God's Spirit? How does that happen? It happens on the inside of us, right? It's that birth that comes when we allow our own preconceived notions of God and our preconceived notions of ourselves to come down. We put our ego aside and meet God face to face, just like Nicodemus did. He put his ego aside as a leader of the Pharisees, and he said, I had to know. I'm going to come and talk to Jesus. And the Spirit began to blow. Richard Rohr writes about religious rituals and spiritual practices that lead us to these places of new birth, where new life can happen and God can meet us face to face. He says this, it's a place where your ego identity falls away, your explanations don't mean anything, and your superiority doesn't matter. You sit naked in your who-ness in God's presence. You sit naked in your who-ness. And if God wants to get to you and the Trinity experiences want to come alive in you, these liminal moments are the times when God has the best chance. I love that line. When we sit naked in our who-ness, those moments are the times when God has the best chance to reach in and blow you some new understanding. Surely God's presence is in this place. Kathy Simmering has been leading the Thursday morning Bible study in new faith practices, prayer practices. So she teaches us about a prayer practice and then we practice it. 20 people sitting around the tables, learning to listen to our own breath and pray a prayer inside of our heads. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. We begin to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. We begin to know that it's okay not to have answers. We begin to sit in Jesus' presence and just let the Spirit be and move as it needs to be and move. So what Nicodemus learned was that his life changed when he came into the presence of God. And if we worshiped in a charismatic tradition, we might be raising our hands and saying, hey, Jesus, God bless you, we praise you, Lord. And we might be slain in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. We don't do that, do we? We like our chairs. We like to know when to stand up and when to sit down. So we don't necessarily see the Spirit, except when we notice that our hunger to read the Bible increases, and our desire to pray increases, and our patience deepens and allows more kindness into our life, and our willingness to serve gets us up on our feet. Being naked and sitting in the presence of God deepens us in the life of the Spirit. My prayer for all of us is that during this Lenten journey, we might come to Jesus night after night after night, curious, with questions, okay with not knowing answers, and to let the wind blow of the Spirit. Because surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen.